WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. One of the most highly regarded films about labor is the 1976 Academy Award-winning documentary, Harlan County, USA. It was directed by my guest Barbara Koppel. The film chronicled a coal miner's strike in Kentucky. The lines were clearly drawn between workers and management. But in Koppel's new film, the conflict she focuses on is within the labor movement itself. The film, American Dream, won an Academy Award last year and is now opening in theaters. American Dream shows the predicament of labor, with more and more plants closing while others demand worker concessions. The film documents the conflict at the Hormel meatpacking plant in Austin, Minnesota, in the mid-80s, after management announced a wage cut. The local decided to strike, but the parent union opposed the strategy. The strike divided the town, divided many families, and destroyed the local union. In this excerpt, Louis Anderson of the United Food and Commercial Workers International is speaking with the workers about why a strike is the wrong tactic at the wrong time.
How much more damage has to be done before you figure out that that strategy is not working? Whoa. I don't take anything away from Local 9 in terms of rallying their people. They've done a good job with it. But it's a doomed strategy, and it was doomed from the beginning, and we try to impress that on them. Being militant and standing up, if you're on the wrong strategy, doesn't make it right. People still end up getting hurt, rates still continue to tumble. You don't have the luxury of just saying, at least we're fighting. Because when you fight and it's all over with and you've lost everything, then that's a terrible price to pay just to say that you were tough.
What we're doing makes sense and we believe in it. And belief is something that will carry you a long ways.
The story that you're telling isn't the story that a viewer might expect to see. It's not the story about labor versus management. I mean, it is that story, but what you're really focusing on is the dilemmas within the labor movement and the conflicts between people who favor different tactics. Why did you take that as the main focus of your story?
Well, to answer you, I didn't take it. It was thrust upon me. But I had done, quite a few years ago, a film called Harlan County, USA, which was a film about coal miners in eastern Kentucky. And when I was doing that film was about coal miners in this area wanting the right to have a union, of which the coal operators said no. So a few years have passed, and I wanted to once again explore in the 80s, and Harlan County was in the late 70s, really what was happening in the industrial landscape. And I decided that I wanted to pick a very American industry, like meatpacking, where you could really connect it to the farmers and everything. So I went to first a place called Worthington, Minnesota, which was 80 miles from Austin, Minnesota. And this was a place where there was a rumor that an armor plant was going to close. And the first day that I filmed, I was filming this husband and wife, and they're sitting on their front steps, and they're talking about, okay, well, if the armor plant closes, at least we'll be able to transfer to another plant because we have it in our contract. And as we're talking, the phone rings, and as the husband goes in to catch the phone call, the wife is saying, but I don't want to leave my friends, and our house is paid for. She said, but at least, you know, Roger will have a place to work. Roger comes out, and he said, that phone call, all the armor plants are closing. There's nowhere where we can transfer. And he bursts into tears, and his wife bursts into tears. And he said, what am I going to do? Meat packing is all I know.
Now, how did that lead you to the Hormel strike?
80 miles away in Austin, Minnesota, and I was hearing it over the radio and the TV, was this guy named Jim Guyette. And Jim Guyette, the Hormel company, which is a very profitable company, it's not a conglomerate, the corporate headquarters are right in Austin, decided to cut the workers' wages from $10.69 an hour to $8.25 an hour. And Jim Guyette was on the radio saying, we're not going to take it anymore. Here was a situation where people were willing to fight back. So that's how it started.
The focus of the story in your movie became the conflicting strategies within the labor movement. Did you have any idea that that would end up being your focus?
No. I had no idea whatsoever. And actually, once I started to get a handle on what was happening in this small town, that it was much more than a labor management dispute, everything seemed to grow and to blossom for me, because what I was looking at was how economic crisis impacts people, values, and communities. And I was seeing, you know, as you so eloquently said, that I was seeing a group of people who were caught in this terrible grip of economic crisis, and that their strategies were different.
Let's see if we could just sum up a little bit what the differences in strategy were in the union. The local didn't want to accept the pay cut because they thought that Hormel was didn't have to force a pay cut. Hormel's profits were up. And no one could understand why should the workers be making less if the company's profits were up.
Exactly.
So they thought that they should bring in an independent organizer, mobilize, organize, and just refuse to accept it.
Right. So they brought in Ray Rogers, and Ray Rogers has an incredible reputation. He was one of the people that helped the Amalgamated Clothing and Textile Workers with the J.P. Stevens dispute in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. And his strategy was that you fight power with power. And he has an organization that he calls Corporate Campaign, Inc. And he tries to find out where the money is behind things. And he brought in a tremendous amount of publicity so that these people's stories would be told. And he was really a very motivating factor in continuing the morale and the energy and the strategy of the workers in Austin, Minnesota.
The parent union, the United Food and Commercial Workers International, didn't really go for this strike, and eventually they disavowed the strike. What were their objections to the strike? Why did they think it was the wrong strategy?
Well, they were seeing the entire meatpacking industry in turmoil, and they were seeing plants closing and, you know, wage concessions from companies that were not profitable. And they felt that you have to bring everybody's wages up, and that the people making $6.50 an hour deserve the same amount as the people making $8.50 or $10.50 an hour. And they just felt that it was the wrong strategy at the wrong time.
The International seemed to think that collective bargaining would be a much better strategy than a strike. Why did they think that? Why did they think that collective bargaining was the better tactic for the time?
Well, they felt that the Hormel Company, which is not a conglomerate and it has its parent union there, had been union for 73 years or something like that. And they felt that they could probably get a very good contract from Hormel, and had, in fact, had a good contract, and that by the workers going out on strike, that maybe that contract would start to come unraveled, and that they also might stand a chance of losing the union, not only in that plant, but in all the 13 other plants that Hormel had.
So the International saw itself as pragmatic.
Yes.
When you were making this movie, did you feel that both sides in their own way were right?
Yes, I did. I mean, I was twisted and turned too, but I saw the real villain as being a systemic villain, as being also a corporate villain. And I also looked at what was starting to happen, or what was happening in America. And that was very, very frightening to me, because no longer did I see a humane society. I saw people who believed in the American dream and believed in the American work ethic, and their lives and the things that they cared about was starting to become unraveled.
Let's take a short break, and then we'll talk some more about how you made your new movie. My guest is Barbara Koppel. Her new film is called American Dream. It's about the Hormel meatpacking plant strike, and it won an Academy Award last year. It's opening theatrically now. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is documentary filmmaker Barbara Koppel, winner of two Academy Awards, one for Harlan County, USA, the other for her latest film, American Dream. When you were making American Dream, did both sides within the union trust you?
Yeah, the way that I go about making my films, at least Harlan County and now American Dream, is that I spend a lot of time in a community. Harlan County took me 4 years to make, and American Dream took me 5. And I immerse myself in a community, and I live there, and I try to get to know the people. And what I try to do as a filmmaker is to be a very intimate filmmaker, that I'm there for the long haul and sort of not just there for an event and I'm going to run out. So I think that people got used to me and they got to know me, but I think also they wanted their story told. And they knew that it would take me some time to put the film together and that, you know, what I filmed during the day wasn't going to be on the evening news. So that made them feel a little bit easier about it, that maybe the strike would be over by the time that my film was out.
Was management at Hormel cooperative with you?
Yeah, the management was. They were always willing to talk to you. The thing that I didn't like is what they were talking to me about. They said, you know, we're doing this because we want to be competitive. All the other meatpacking companies are paying less, so we're going to do it despite the fact that we're profitable. We want to be more profitable for our stockholders. They said, these are the things that we can do if these workers continue to stay out on strike. We can close the plant. We can hire temporary replacements. We can hire permanent replacements. And they did just what they said.
The union used as a slogan, "No Retreat and No Surrender," which is a line from a Bruce Springsteen song. And Springsteen, I believe, donated around $25,000 to the movie. Mm-hmm. How did you get him to do that? Did it have anything with his knowledge of the fact that his song was being used?
Well, his song wasn't being used.
I mean, his line was being used.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? I had done a film quite a while ago called No Nukes, which was done by an organization called MUSE, Musicians United for Safe Energy. And so they did a concert at Madison Square Garden, several concerts, and I had met Bruce then, and he had said that he had seen Harlan County and it was one of his favorite films, and so that registered, and I remembered it. And then when I was in the midst of doing this film, we had written him several letters, and I was filming, and we were out on the picket lines, and sometimes it was anywhere from 23 below with the wind chill factor to 60 below with the wind chill factor. And you go to meetings until 1 o'clock in the morning and then go to sleep for a couple of hours. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, you get all dressed to go out on the picket line in this freezing weather. And this one particular day, I went back to the Union Hall at 12 noon after being out from 3 a.m. in the morning, and my office called. And they said, "Barbara, we have $275 left in the bank. We can't pay any of the bills, and we can't send you any more film. What are you going to do about it?" I thought, what am I going to do about it? You know, I can hardly keep warm. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. And I was pacing up and down the Union Hall thinking, does that mean in the state of exhaustion, I have to sit down and start to think about who to fundraise from or to write proposals or what do I have to do? And meanwhile, the phone rings again, and it's my office. And they said, "We just got a check from Bruce Springsteen for $25,000. And I just cried. I mean, literally cried. I couldn't stop crying. I just said, "I'm so happy." And all the tears were coming down. Anyway, so miracles happen sometimes.
Now, in your very long list of funding credits at the end of the film, you thank Alfred and Marjorie Coppola. Are they your parents?
Of course.
So they helped you?
Yeah, my parents always contribute to my films.
That's nice.
It's wonderful.
Now, I know you used your own credit cards to pay for some of the film. Do you still have a lot of credit card debt because of the film?
I have not only credit card debt, I have every kind of debt you could ever imagine. Yes, I have a lot of debt.
What are the hazards, though, of using personal money to make a movie?
I think that, you know, you never want to use personal money, but sometimes to be able to keep going, you have to. And for me, there's nothing more important than getting that next roll of film to keep going. So I just put everything I can into it.
Your movie, American Dream, is going to open soon in Austin, Minnesota, which is where Hormel is, and or where the branch of Hormel that you shot is.
Yes.
What's the employment situation like there now? Are a lot of the people who struck now unemployed?
Yeah, the people, half the people crossed the picket line and half the people did not. And of the ones that didn't, they were put on a list that they could go back to work. And some of them have actually been able to go back to work, but most of them have sort of scattered to the four winds. And some of them are in Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities. Others are driving trucks. Others are going to school. Others have moved to entirely different areas. And so it's a town that's been greatly changed by what happened.
I'm wondering if you were a worker at Hormel and if you could cast a vote now to either go on strike or to go with a collective bargaining, which you would choose to do, how you would prefer to take your stand.
I guess that my feeling is that standing up and fighting for what you feel is right, even though you don't win every battle, doesn't mean that you don't win a war, and that it's really important to not be afraid to stand and strike out for the things that you believe in your life, because if you don't, you're going to be trampled.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Barbara Koppel's Academy Award-winning documentary, American Dream, opens in New York tonight, in Los Angeles this weekend, and in many other cities over the next few weeks. This is Fresh Air.